Hey everyone, welcome back to the Spirit of Prophecy podcast. We are going to have a great episode today where we are going to have a lot of fun. We are going to learn a lot. You're going to learn a little bit from the Bible, but also I'm going to reveal more manipulation tactics. It's very important that when we are listening to preaching, that we know how to see through a lot of the manipulation. Any of us are capable of doing it. Sometimes it is. It's easier to manipulate and to intimidate than it is to actually just prove something. And I want to show some common tactics that are used and that will hopefully help you in the future. But we are going to be featuring Greg Locke today. And I had noticed some stuff on Twitter or X. I'm not used to calling it X yet. That he's been posting that is hilarious. Folks, Greg Locke is hilarious. And I want to feature him because, again, Greg Locke, in when it comes to his Zionism, which is what we're going to be talking about, he is not really any different than your average IFB guy. Okay? Now, I know you all get offended by that. Listen, here's where you're different than Greg Locke. Greg Locke is more flamboyant. He acts weirder about it and crazier about it than you do. But when you actually get to the theology of what he believes, he's just like you, people. He's just like you. And so the problem is, if I go and I get on one of the respected IFB guys, defenses go up. All of a sudden, people go into we're being persecuted mode and they don't listen. And so often it is helpful and it is more beneficial for some to see their error in someone that they are opposed to. And most people in the IFB are definitely against Greg Locke, as they should be. I want to show his errors that, again, you in the IFB who are Zionists have the exact same errors, the exact same positions. You wouldn't say it as crazy as he does, but you're with him. And I'm hoping maybe if you see these mistakes, I'm hoping as I show it with Greg Locke, who you are against, your defenses will go down and you will hopefully realize your error. That's what I'm hoping doing this. But let's go ahead and let's look at his Twitter. Look at his main picture on Twitter right now. He's got these Israeli shoes with the star Remfan on it and a lion, which is just absolutely hilarious. But we're going to be showing this video that he has pinned. I will not back down on my support for Israel. And we'll watch that video and we will break it down for you. I think you'll be interested in some of the things that you see there. But also, yeah, if you shout and scream a lot long enough, it eventually becomes Palestine. Well, he's standing with Israel. But let's go farther down. There's some real funny stuff. Once you see, we're going to watch this video too. A warning to the Jew haters. Of course, anybody who disagrees with them is just obviously a Jew hater. What a terrible person. Let's see. This is funny too. The Temple Mount belongs to the Jews. It will return to the Jews. The Dome of the Rock will be removed at some point, one way or the other. It's going to happen. The House of Prayer for all nations will be built. If that hurts your feelings, read a Bible and pay attention. Now, folks, right there, let me just briefly tell you where he's wrong on that. And please, if you do not agree with what I'm about to tell you, let me know. Some things are so clear and they're so simple. It's like, do I even need to address this? But if you are not sure about this, I would love to take some time to prove it to you from the scriptures. When Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations," that was not him prophesying about a day that was going to come in the future where that Temple Mount and that temple was going to be where all nations would come to. That's not what he was doing. He was rebuking them. He was quoting Isaiah 56 because in Isaiah, they were given instructions as a nation. They were supposed to be bringing people from all nations to Jerusalem and allowing them to become a part of the covenant if they would keep the Sabbath and if they would do the circumcision. And there was all these things. God made a way for Gentiles to be a part of the covenant back then. You can read about it in Isaiah. You can read about it in Ezekiel. And Israel, at the time of the visitation, which was the triumphal entry, at the time of his coming on that Palm Sunday, Israel was not ready and they were being rebuked. That's what was happening. They were being rebuked because they had not done what they were supposed to do. Jesus fulfilled his obligation as the Messiah when he showed up that day, but Israel did not do what they were supposed to. And he said, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. And so what's going on right there? Jesus is showing that they would, their offerings would be accepted. But if you go and you look at what happened, it is coming. They weren't ready. And as a result of that, we see what Jesus did. He did not destroy them. No, he went and he offered up himself as a sacrifice. They destroyed the temple of his body, and 3 days later, he raised it up again. Jesus replaced that physical temple with the temple of his body, and Jesus accomplished everything. He accomplished his role as the Messiah, and he accomplished the work of the people as well, which is why the only way into the promises of God are through Jesus Christ. You have nothing without Jesus. You have no promise. You have no hope without Jesus. And Jews who reject Christ have no hope, have no promises, have no blessing until they turn to Christ. Then they will have exactly what you and I have, that we all received, not through a bloodline, but through Jesus Christ. And I would love to talk more about that. I've preached sermons on that I could refer you to. But man, when I just saw the epic ignorance of that, that he thinks that we're all going to be going to a house of prayer there in Jerusalem. He's forgot, you know what else he forgot about too? That he's I don't know if he forgot about it. He might be completely unaware of it. But you know, the Bible talks about a heavenly Zion. In fact, in Hebrews 12:22 it says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and into innumerable company of angels." So on one hand, spiritually speaking, what Jesus spoke of has been fulfilled, because we don't have to go to a temple. We don't have to go in Jerusalem. No, we can go to Christ anywhere. You know why? Because Jesus sent his disciples into all nations to preach the gospel. And when we hear that gospel and we believe on Christ, that is us coming to Jerusalem. That is us coming to that heavenly Jerusalem. And we are, all those promises are fulfilled through Christ, not through this hunk of land over in the Middle East that has been so greatly defiled. I'm sorry, that's not right. And so let's look at some more of his tweets. We got this one here. It says, "Let me be very plain. If you hate Israel, you really need to unfollow me. We aren't friends. We will never be friends. I'm not going to jeopardize my relationship to God and pretend to be your friend. You either stand with the Jewish people or I have zero to do with you." Well, so be it. But notice, he thinks if you want to have a good relationship with God, you got to have a good relationship with Jesus. You have to have a good relationship with the Jews. I'm sorry. If you want to have a good relationship with God, you have a good relationship with the Jews. No, you have to have a good relationship with Jesus. No man comes to the Father but by Jesus, not the Jews. He is, like all Zionists, obsessed with the Jews and downplays Jesus Christ. No, the way you get a good relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. The Jewish people reject Jesus Christ, which is why they are under God's wrath, which is why they don't have a blessing. I'm sorry, he's just dead wrong on that. But Baptist, you're no different than that. Again, he says it a little more forcefully. He's a little more flamboyant about it. He's a little crazier about it than you are, but you agree with him on that. And you're just wrong. Both of you are wrong. He thinks he's standing with the Jewish people. Okay, well, what, Greg Locke, what does that mean to you? Okay, and Greg Locke is always welcome to come on this program. If you get spoken of in this program, you were invited on this program. I'll give him the last word. I'll treat him fair. That's a guarantee. I've had people I've disagreed with more on this program, and I've treated them with complete and total fairness. But what do you think a Jew is, Greg Locke? Do you think it's a bloodline? What makes somebody a Jew? Because my Bible says in Romans 2:28, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And I just find it funny that Greg Locke, who's not going to go with your preferred pronouns, and he's not going to, you know, your preferred gender and this trans stuff, but, you know, he'll go with their preferred spiritual titles. They want to call themselves Jews when the Bible says they're not. You know, he'll give them that. And y'all better respect that. You know, how is that any different? So I'm sorry, Greg Locke, you are just dead wrong. Folks, his Twitter feed is just absolutely hilarious. Christians, wake up! Donald Trump and Elon Musk are helping us have more Christian freedom than ever before. And y'all just want to keep fighting at Faith Office and Paula White. I don't know who at Faith Office is, but yeah, some of us have problems with women preachers. Okay, here we go. This is good. It's happening, folks. Get ready. The Red Heifer Ceremony. And then check this out. Okay, folks, we have talked about the Red Heifer hype and hysteria. It is so dumb. It is one of the dumbest things that even Baptists fall for. But Greg Locke, again, he just takes it to another level. He's like the IFB, but he just goes a little crazier than the IFB with the Red Heifer stuff. And you get caught up in this stuff all the time. But let's go down a little further and check this out. This is so funny. Just finished an amazing time filming in Israel for a movie covering the prophetic significance of the red heifers. These are not just cows. Yeah, they are, Greg. They're just cows. These animals are bold statements and testaments to the absolute accuracy of God's word. Okay, now, where in the Bible does it prophesy about these coming red heifers? I keep asking people this. Greg Locke, do you want to come on the program and show me the prophetic significance? You're saying the fact that we now have these pure red heifers is showing the accuracy of God's word. Can somebody show me the prophecy of that? You can't do it. You know why? Because it's not there. And what people will do, you see, when it comes to biblical terms and biblical language, it's kind of in us, and this is okay to a certain extent, but when we hear the word of God spoken, often our defenses go down because we accept God's word as what it is, God's word. It's authoritative. The problem is people often misuse and misapply it. And don't just assume that just because you heard a biblical term or even a verse come out of their mouth that what they're telling you is true. Go listen to the video of Jim Jones when he was about to have everybody drink the Kool-Aid and listen to how many Bible references that he makes in there. But it's horrible application. But yeah, he's quoting scripture. So it sounds authoritative. And often preachers do that. And so he does that too. And so you hear red heifer. And in America today, we don't typically refer to cows as heifers. And we don't talk much about red heifers. But red heifer, we read about red heifers in the Bible. So whenever somebody starts talking about red heifers, they think we're talking about something biblical. And then because somebody told you there's this prophecy about the red, that it's prophetic, anytime you hear red heifer referred to in news, man, you know, the Bible's coming to pass before our very eyes. Where is this red heifer prophecy in the Bible? Because interestingly enough, if you go to Hebrews chapter 9, when it's been talking about the new covenant and it's referring to the first covenant that talked about the temple and all the worldly sanctuary, showing how it never could take away sins. Here's where we see a reference to a red heifer. It says, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. The New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now, folks, here in Hebrews, it is showing how much better the blood of Christ is than the things of the temple and the old covenant. and it specifically mentions the ashes of a heifer. Now, why is Greg Locke over there filming cows and red heifers, filming these inferior things? We have the blood of Christ that permanently made, was the permanent sacrifice for sins. One will never need to be done again. And yes, in the old covenant, God instituted things like that. But the Bible, it tells us in Hebrews, those were a shadow of what was to come. And guess what? What those things were a shadow of, which was Jesus Christ, it came, it's done, it is finished. And all these red heifers are doing, okay, all they're doing is showing Israel's apostasy, shows their rejection of the blood of Christ. Them trying to rebuild the temple is a rejection of the final sacrifice that Jesus made. And for Christians to support that in any way is insane. And just seeing a red heifer come back, it's not any type of positive thing. It really isn't at all. And, you know, and I get Baptists mad at me sometimes for how I make fun of some of this stuff. Like, oh, you know, they think I'm exaggerating. Folks, I'm not exaggerating. Greg Locke is literally over in Israel filming red heifers and acting like this is some kind of prophetic thing. And now let's watch this video I did a little over a year ago, making fun of this type of nonsense. And you'll see it's not really that exaggerated.
I'm at the sandwich fair, seeing if I can find me a red heifer. If I find a red heifer, we're going to know Bible prophecy is being fulfilled right before our eyes. It'll be proof of a pre-tribulation rapture, proof that God's not done with Israel, and proof that the rapture is about to happen. It could be imminent, folks. We're looking for that red heifer.
Find anything?
No, I can't find nothing. These ones don't qualify because they got some white on it. But there's less white than last year. We're getting closer. We're definitely getting closer. Well, I checked all the cows. There's no pure red heifers this year. But we're getting closer, folks. We're closer than we were last year. It could happen anytime.
Folks, I don't know what to tell you, but apparently we're already like 7 years in the tribulation. They done separated the sheep from the goats already.
All right. So that was Pastor C.I. Darby right there. That's not exaggerated. Again, Baptists get excited about red heifers. That is one of the dumbest things ever. And this is just a result of bad theology. And again, I expect this kind of thing from guys like Greg Locke, but I don't from Independent Fundamental, King James, only Baptists. And unfortunately, you're not really any different. Now, let's go ahead and watch one of the videos. Let's show this one first. This one was from shortly after October 7th. Okay, now again, the only difference between Greg Locke and your Zionist Baptist is he's a little more flamboyant and flashy about it. But watch what he did shortly after the October 7th.
Now listen, here's what I think. I told my wife this last night. This will be the most controversial thing I say, but I'll be all right. I'll preach in a minute. Somebody, I hope, get this message to Benjamin Netanyahu. That he ought to take care of the rest of them Yahoos. Now, I'm going to tell you what would fix it right now. By the way, it'd fix it, and it would help usher in what we're wanting so bad. Huh? While they're mowing down the Gaza Strip and letting them terrorists know exactly what we do with terrorists, which is not compromise or negotiate, what they ought to do is evacuate up there on the hill and get a great big missile and blow that wicked Dome of the Rock plumb off of the spot where it's standing right now, so we can get that third temple rebuilt and usher in the coming of Jesus. Tear down that big demonic monstrosity that shouldn't even be there. Blow the whole thing to kingdom come. Rebuild that third temple and we'll zip up out of here in the glory land. Amen. Yes, I said it. Yes, Twitter, enjoy yourself. They ought to blow the whole thing up. Bring the whole thing down. Evacuate it out. Tell them, you got 48 hours to get out. We're going to blow it up. Let them all get out. And if they decide to go down with it, then they decide to go down with it. I'm done with it. I ain't playing these games. We'll step up security around here all we got. We get our own ballistic missile system. Praise God. We got our own Iron Dome. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. God will protect us. We're standing with the nation of Israel. We're honoring the nation of Israel. We're standing with their army. We're standing with their leadership. We're standing with their people.
All right. So just a bunch of nonsense there. Thinking that us going and blowing up the Dome of the Rock, that's going to help usher in the coming of Christ. And what Greg Locke and what a lot of you Zionists don't realize is anything involving the rebuilding of a temple, it's bad. It is a rejection of Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. It is an apostasy. It is not something that we should support. Even if it is, even if it's something that, you know, and we're right, and prophetically it's going to happen, it's not something we should support. For example, we believe that the Antichrist is going to make war with the saints. So should we encourage politicians to make legislation that is against the saints? Of course not. Why would we help bad things come to pass, and the rebuilding of the temple is a bad thing? It's not something we should support. It is a terrible thing. And what if it's still a couple hundred years before Jesus comes back? What Greg Locke's talking about doing would only cause a world war, more than likely. And a lot of people would die as a result. Whatever happened to blessed are the peacemakers? Remember when Jesus came and told us that? But yeah, Christians, you know, if it means standing with Israel, you know, then we're all for war. We're all for bloodshed. Absolutely ridiculous. So folks, that's just foolishness right there on big display. And yeah, it's a little flashier than most IFB churches with all the Israeli flags in the background and stuff, with them wearing a Jewish prayer shawl. This is a bunch of nonsense. I'm just disgusted by this kind of thing. But now let's watch this other video. And I want to show you something. Now, Greg Locke does this all the time. And this is an important thing. I want you to watch this in preaching. Okay, so for example, chest thumping. There is a time to thump your chest. Okay, I think it is appropriate. I think you can even find examples of it in the Bible where there's some chest thumping going on, where they're telling, be strong, be courageous. You know, there's a time for us to fire ourselves up, right? There's a time to do that. So I am not against all chest thumping. I will say though, but sometimes, you know, people who take it too far and do it a lot of time, it's them overcompensating for the fact that they don't have an actual argument. And often, the more one thumps their chest, usually the less substance they are going to bring to an argument. And Greg Locke, part of it is his narcissism coming out, but whenever he is taking a stand on anything, half of it is him talking about what he's not going to do and what he's going to do. I ain't backing down. I ain't giving up. I ain't going to flinch. I ain't going to move them up. You know, I'm standing. You know, I'll die on this hill. It's all about him. Okay, it's him trying to look bold and look courageous. Now, again, there's a time for that. But it's interesting. It seems like the more people are in error, the more they do that type of thing. And just understand, while there is a time and a place for chest thumping proves nothing. I could stand here all day and I could thump my chest and talk about, you know, whoever the big UFC fighter is now and how I could beat him up. I ain't afraid. Bring it on. Okay. But it doesn't change reality. I'm going to get whooped big time. It doesn't change reality. And if I'm wrong, the more I run my mouth, the greater of a fool I end up looking like. And so again, If there's a time and place to thump your chest, but boy, you better be right. And typically preachers, when they don't have a lot of substance on an argument, that's when they resort to a lot of chest thumping. And Greg Locke is going to do that on these two videos we're going to show. He's going to do some chest thumping on this one too. The other thing he's going to do is make himself out to be, you know, the victim of attacks, you know, it's haters. And it's so funny. He still has so much Baptist in him. In the Baptist world, you cannot ever call anyone out without them just acting like they're hated. For example, you know, when you can bring up like legitimate problems. For example, you know, Greg Locke for sure is disqualified from being a pastor. The man's been divorced. There's no doubt about it. And so if somebody comes along and says, yeah, I think Greg Locke is disqualified from being a pastor because he's been divorced, then what he'll do, these people, they just hate me. They're just envious. That's what they'll say. Envy is like the new thing everybody does. It's a way to make themselves look good. Rather than him show where we're wrong about how he does not meet the biblical qualifications, what he does is he tries to distract and change the subject and makes it that we're all just haters. And we also mainly hate him because he's so awesome. Do you see what he's doing in there? And often that's what people do. You can call him out for sin. You can call him out for being an abuser. You can call him out for teaching false doctrine. You can call them out for bad behavior. And what do they always do? They just say they're a hater because they hate us because they ain't us. They hate us because they're envious. See how they're distracting? They're distracting. They won't address the accusations. They won't address the errors and prove where they are right. What they do is they just try to use it like, you know, they persecuted Jesus, they're persecuting us. Well, here's the difference. What they accused Jesus of was false. And sometimes we get accused of things that are true. So let's show where it's false. And they can't do that. And so Greg Locke, he does the same thing. And then he turns it around in this video and he's gonna make it, they're Jew haters, which nobody wants to be a Jew hater, but that's what he's gonna do. So this is just foolish argument, chest thumping, and he reveals his insecurity here. So watch this minute and a half video.
Hey guys, Pastor Greg Locke here. So apparently when you stand with Israel, you receive a lot of hate and you have a lot of backlash. But I want to say something to everybody that is a Jew hater, a Holocaust denier, and people that want to support wicked terrorist organizations like Hamas. There's only one ending for any of those type of people. Because anybody that's ever come against Israel has been destroyed by the God of Israel. So in our Holocaust section of our Global Vision Bible Museum that we've been putting together, we have a number of original newspapers. Let me show you some of my favorites just to prove my point. This one says, Nazi armies shattered. This one says, the Nazis surrender. Original newspapers. But my favorite one, so that everyone can be reminded of the fate and the future of what happens to people that turn against the Jewish nation, is my favorite one. Hitler is dead. He was dead then, he's dead now. And every person and every nation that has ever come against the Jewish people will end up under the judgment of God, whether you like that or not.
All right, so you're all gonna die if you don't stand with Israel, basically is what he's saying. Now, notice, you know, if you are against this genocide, this ethnic cleansing that's going on in Gaza, you just must be a Jew hater. You know, you must be a Hamas supporter, you know, and you must be like the Nazis. You know, you must be a Holocaust denier, something. And folks, this is absolutely ridiculous. This is all distraction. Okay, so first off, did you know you can be 1,000% against what happened on October 7th and still not like what's going on? What happened on October 7th was horrible. There were over 1,000 Jews that died. But now we're up to over 60,000 Palestinians that have died. Or last I heard, it was over 60,000 that have died. And this clearly is a land grab. There's a lot of evidence that they let the October 7th attacks happen because they wanted to do this land grab. And so again, there's many people just like, this needs to stop. You know, this is overdoing it. This is such a horrible massacre. Just stop it already. And then y'all just Jew haters. And then you've got these guys cheering it on, wanting Gaza to be made into a parking lot. And these people are bloodthirsty. How does this reflect what Jesus said? Blessed are the peacemakers. Okay. Isn't that what we should be shooting for as Christians? Why are we encouraging and promoting an ethnic cleansing? Here's why. Because again, when you hear about Israel on the news today, when you hear about Jews on the news today, you immediately think of the people that we read about in the Old Testament. That's where your brain goes. And you see those people in the Old Testament, and you mistakenly connect them with the people that are over there today, because you don't understand what makes a nation. You don't understand what gave Israel their authority, and how you don't understand the promises of God. You don't understand the covenants. And I, this week I'm going to be recording what I think is going to be a very interesting podcast. I've got a guest coming on who has some very interesting thoughts on that. I don't agree with this individual on everything they promote, but what he has to say about this is, this subject is very, very interesting, and I'm going to listen to what he has to say. I want you to listen to what he has to say. I think he might be right about a lot of things that it does not conflict with my position. I think what we're going to promote on here is a much better way of explaining some of the things we believe. It really gets into a lot of the technicalities. And so, because what people don't understand about Israel, about that nation, and about that in that covenant, they were told by Moses to follow that prophet like unto Moses, which was Jesus Christ. And those who did not, they would be cut off from the people. And so the people that are being referred to as Israel today, in reality, are people who rejected the Messiah, who rejected the covenant, were cut off from the covenant. It was never about a bloodline. But yet today, dispensationalists have turned it into that. And that's wrong. That's just an absolute error. Okay, now, and I want you to notice on this next video, this is the main one I wanted to show, what Greg Locke is going to do. He is going to use these manipulative tactics. He's going to spend a lot of time talking about, I ain't backing down, I ain't moving, I ain't budging, I'll die on this hill. Okay, that's great. That doesn't prove anything. Just understand, if you're wrong, it makes you look like a fool. If I get up here, and I could do this if I wanted to, I wouldn't. But let's say on the issue of eternal security, okay? We have, to me, that's one of the clearest doctrines in the Bible, that once a person's saved, they are saved forever. You can't lose your salvation. I think that is one of the easiest things in the scriptures to prove. But there are many people out there who don't believe it. Now, let's just suppose that I didn't believe that. Let's say I had a different position. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think that way. Yeah, and I'm not backing down. Listen, you can call me whatever you want. You can call me a work salvationist. You can call me a heretic. Call me names all you want. They call Jesus names. But you know what? I ain't budging. I ain't moving on this. I've believed this my entire life. I'll go to the grave believing this. Hey, watch out for that kind of thing. Because if you are wrong, you look like a fool. If you are wrong, your words are going to make it where it's harder for you to humble yourself, if you ever are shown the error of your ways. And so if you're right, okay, great. But you didn't prove anything. You didn't prove anything thumping your chest. Okay, no matter how right you are, that doesn't prove anything. And so me, as somebody who thinks I can clearly prove eternal security from the Bible, if I'm having a debate, if I'm having a discussion, if I'm making a video, I'm not going to waste my time doing the chest thumping on it. I don't need to. I've got too much Bible I want to show you. I've got so much scripture that it's like, which ones am I going to use? Which ones am I going to focus on? But these guys, it's like they just got to fill their time. When they're preaching a sermon, they need to fill that time slot that they have, and they don't have scripture, so they spend a lot of time chest thumping. And what they will do to appear biblical is they will say lines from the Bible, but they will misapply them. And I want you to watch Greg Locke do that in this video. He is going to use lines from the Bible, and I will show you how he's misusing them. And he's going to do a lot of chest thumping, which proves nothing. So let's watch. This is only a minute and 13, but the amount of error and foolishness in this video is insane.
Hey guys, Pastor Greg Locke here. Let me be very plain in this quick video and say, it doesn't matter how much you bully me about my stand on Israel. I don't care how much you threaten me, how much you accuse me. You can say anything you jolly well please. It will not move me. It will only embolden me.
All right, so it's all about me. I stand strong. I ain't afraid. You're not going to move me. So again, this is all, notice how rather than addressing maybe why people have a problem with this, rather than him taking a Bible and showing where he's right. It's just all about, I'm receiving religious persecution right now, and I ain't gonna budge. Well, guess what? Because you are wrong, and you are provably wrong, now you look like a fool. And you'll probably remain a fool. Okay? I would gladly, lovingly, quietly, calmly, respectfully sit down and show somebody like Greg Locke what the scriptures say about this thing. I have no problem doing that kind of thing. But at the same time, the likelihood of him getting it right after he's ran his mouth so much is very slim. And we need to watch out for that. Okay. And again, a lot of times, this is what we resort to. We don't want to move. We fear changing so much. We fear political backlash so much. Rather than us dig into the scriptures, we just dig into our position and our rhetoric. And we talk big, talk tough, and all we do is we make it harder for us to humble ourselves later. So everything that he has just said there is meaningless, does nothing, accomplishes nothing. But now, watch when he starts trying to talk biblical, and let's see if he's right in what he's doing.
Please know when I say, I stand for the Jewish people, I stand for the state of Israel, I stand where God stands. If you bless Israel...
All right, I stand where God stands. Okay, so what's he doing there? Okay, this is an intimidation method. It doesn't prove anything. Because I think every person, you know, every religion, for the most part, obviously there's exceptions, but I think most of us believe we are standing with God. We are following the Bible the best we can. And so what does he got to do? I stand with God. It's kind of the same thing too. A lot of Baptists do. Well, you know, I'm standing with this preacher. I stand with that preacher. You know, what they're trying to do is deflect. It's like, no, we're talking about your dumb interpretation of the Bible. And so what do? They try to align themselves with those who can't be criticized, you know, who it looks bad to criticize. And of course it looks terrible to criticize God, but wait a minute, just because you say you're standing with God doesn't mean you are standing with God. If you are standing with God, then you ought to be able to display it from the scriptures. And we're about to see him reference, in a way, Genesis chapter 12. And so he is. He's making it like, I'm with God, you're not. Leave me alone. You contradicted me, you're contradicting God. No, we're contradicting you. You're wrong. A lot of people calling him out are people who love God, believe God's words, and we're trying to point out his error. And so watch what he does here with the scripture.
You will be blessed if you curse Israel. You will be cursed. If you don't believe that, then you don't believe the Bible.
All right. So yeah, if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. If you curse Israel, you'll be cursed. If you don't believe that, you don't believe the Bible. This is the same thing that I had a debate recently on Standing for Truth, where I'm debating, we were talking about Abraham's bosom. And every time this guy would get back in the corner, I just believe the Bible. I think we all believe the Bible. He's like, no, I don't think you do believe the Bible. And that's what people say when they can't prove something. Well, I just believe the Bible. That way, if you contradict me, if you're saying I'm wrong, you're saying the Bible's wrong. No, I'm saying you're wrong. And I'm also opening my Bible and I'm showing you where you're wrong. And then you just don't believe the Bible, that's an intimidation tactic. And yes, there are people out there who don't believe the Bible. That is a fact. But why is it when people are having a debate, why is it that they often resort to that? Again, and it's because they can't display it from the scriptures. They can't even admit that a person believes the Bible, but they are in error. And we see that often in the Bible, where people, that their problem was they were just in error. Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred. Paul didn't say they just don't even believe the Bible. No, he's like, no, they are in error. I think these guys in their minds felt that they believed the Bible, but they were in error, and that error caused a lot of problems, and it caused some people's faith to be overthrown. And so here he's saying, God will bless you if you bless Israel, and will curse you if you curse Israel. Now, Are you sure that's how we're to interpret that verse? Because it sounds kind of like he doesn't make reference, but it sounds kind of like he is referring to Genesis 12:3 And notice what it says in Genesis 12:3. It says, "And I will bless him that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Now, the way Greg Locke is applying that is he is saying we need to stand with modern Israel in their military offensive that they are taking against Gaza in this occupation. We have to stand with them based on that verse. And if we stand with them, we'll be blessed. If we do not support them, if all of a sudden you start following the words of Jesus and start encouraging peace and trying to be a peacemaker, you're not going to get blessed from being a peacemaker. No, you're blessed by being a warmonger in these people's minds if it's for Israel. But understand, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers in Israel," while they were under Roman occupation. Okay, who's actually following the words of Jesus here? But let's see. And so here's a question I would have for Greg Locke. Okay, you believe we'll be blessed if we stand with Israel right now. Okay, what do you think that blessing is? What do you think that blessing looks like? When God told Abraham all the nations of the world would be blessed, what was that blessing? What if I told you exactly what that blessing is? Because I think most of you are thinking money. You're thinking prosperity, blessings, peace, good health, long life. You're thinking about those things. But what if I could show you a verse that tells us exactly what the blessing is? And guess what? I can. We see in Acts 3:25, "Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Did you all see that? The blessing for all the nations was Jesus, and it was him turning them from their iniquities. And notice that Peter said, "And it came to you first." The nation of Israel was the first nation to be blessed, to receive the blessing of Jesus Christ. Think about that. So Greg Locke and all of you Zionists, you want to make the blessing out to be like some kind of financial blessing, you know, some kind of earthly blessing for blessing the modern day nation of Israel. But according to the Bible, Jesus was the actual blessing, and Jesus blessed the nation of Israel. They were the first. And then what happened? He sent his disciples into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature, and all the nations of the world ended up being blessed by Jesus. Jesus is the blessing. So Greg Locke, what do you think the blessing is? Because I can tell you what the blessing is. It's Jesus, and I've already received that blessing. So if I don't stand with Israel in a military occupation, what is the curse that I'm going to get? Because the blessing that I received was eternal life because Jesus Christ cleansed me of all my iniquities. And I'm pretty sure, I don't know if Greg Locke still believes in eternal security. I hope he does. But I mean, can I lose my salvation if I don't do that? But either way, the blessing was never about standing with Israel in a military offensive. It was about believing on Christ. That's how I got saved, by believing on Christ. I didn't get saved by standing with Israel. I got saved by believing on Christ. I've already received the blessing of Genesis chapter 12, and I'll never lose the blessing of Genesis chapter 12. So yet, what you said there sounds like you're referring to the Bible, but you misapplied it. You changed what the blessing is, and you weren't even specific about it at all. And you changed the source of it. And the actual blessing is Jesus Christ. And God said, I'll bless them, bless you, talking about Abraham, because he was the one that the Messiah was going to come from. That nation of Israel in the Old Testament was the nation that the Messiah was going to come from. And when other nations came against that nation, God would curse them as a result of it. But the seed came. The Messiah came, and he died. He was buried, and he rose again. And understand that condemnation that came, it came on the world as a result of it, because it was the Romans who put Jesus to death, but the Jews, they did. They conspired with the Romans to have Jesus put to death. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers took counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, against his Christ, as is referred to in the New Testament. And they put him to death, And as a result, the entire world must acknowledge their sin and they must believe on Jesus Christ to receive salvation. And the Jews, they're in the exact same boat as the Gentiles today. And all they need, but at the same time, the solution is the exact same for them as it is for the Gentiles. Believe on Christ and they'll be saved. So let's go ahead and watch the last part of this video.
Believing Christians stand with the people of God. So I stand with Israel. I'm not going to change my stand. I'm not going to back up, pack up, slack up, or shut up. You're not going to bully me into a corner. And I'm not going to give in on this issue. This is a hill that I am willing to die on. Do you understand? So yes, I unapologetically 1,000% stand with Israel and with the Jewish people. If that chaps your hide, you'll have to get over it. Because I am not going to change my mind.
Okay, now folks, me being an independent fundamental Baptist, I like that kind of talk. I like that. I ain't moving. I ain't changing. I'm not moving one inch. I'll die on this hill. You know, you can get mad all you want. I don't care who it bothers. I like that kind of talk as an independent fundamental Baptist. I'm from that world. That is my culture. But when you're wrong, you look like a fool. And so again, Greg Locke, he started off with the chest thumping. He ended with a chest thumping. And notice how he said that, you know, we should stand with the people of God. Now, Greg Locke, let me ask you this question. What makes them the people of God? I mean, do you think it's a bloodline? Is that what you're thinking? Is it just Jewish people in general, whether they live in Israel or not? What makes them the people of God? That is a very important question. It's a very legitimate question that I can't get dispensationalists to answer. And of course, that sounds pretty biblical. I mean, who wants to stand against the people of God? I don't want to stand against the people of God. We shouldn't stand against the people of God. However, if we go to Romans 9, let's see if we should apply this to Jews. It says, "Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed." Did you see that, Greg Locke? They that are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Abraham had two sons, one by a bondwoman, one by a free woman, Ishmael and Isaac. We are of the free woman. Galatians 4:28. "Now we, brethren," talking to the Galatians, "as Isaac was, are the children of promise." It's never been about a bloodline. Those who are of faith are the children of promise. Those who are of faith receive the promises, the blessings. That's what the scriptures actually teach. And he is applying it to a bloodline. But no, Isaac also had two sons, Jacob and Esau. But Esau didn't receive the blessing. Jacob did. So do you see, it was never about a bloodline. And so, yes, that sounds good. I'm standing with the people of God. Well, so am I. Now let's talk about who the people of God are. And let's see if you have a biblical leg to stand on, Greg Locke. You don't. You're wrong. They are not the people of God. They have rejected Jesus as the Messiah. And they are under God's wrath, according to 1 Thessalonians. Paul said, they please not God. They are contrary to all men. It says, wrath has come on them to the uttermost. So again, you just using all this chest-thumping talk, you know, using some of these biblical lines, you are misusing them. And independent fundamental Baptists, pro-Israel, Zionist Baptists, you interpret the Bible exactly like Greg Locke does. And you're wrong. I clearly displayed your error. And I only scratch the surface. I mainly focused on the scriptures he alluded to. And right there, I was able to debunk what he was saying completely. And so just because Greg Locke acts a little crazier than you, is more flamboyant than you, does not mean his doctrine is not identical to yours. And honestly, when it comes to this subject, I don't see any difference between the doctrine, the use of the scriptures from Greg Locke, and your mainstream IFB people. And while you all struggle to see problems within your own camp, and where you're really good as Baptists of seeing it outside your camp, I hope you see his problem. I hope you see his error. And I hope you will recognize the fact that you have the same error. And so just for fun, in closing, I think I've proved my point. I do want to show a video that I absolutely love. This is on my son Jason's YouTube channel called Jason Goes to Church. And this channel is a lot of fun. It's got a lot of short clips. You'll have to go check it out. There have been those who are desperately wanting to find some way to discredit me, to try to act like my son is out there attacking other pastors. First off, there's nothing in here that like attacks people. But notice in the description, we've had this from day one, but it just says, these videos are not intended to make fun of people. We are just having fun with funny situations that happen in church sometimes. If any Baptist preachers don't want to be featured on this channel, then just send us an email at jasongoestochurch@gmail.com and we will remove it. And so again, it is if you feel that this makes you look bad, if you're on here, if you feel it makes you look like an idiot or something like that, that is not our intent. We are having fun with funny situations because funny things happen in church sometimes. These videos are all out of context. Jason was not there for any of them. And I've even gotten permission from some of the Baptist preachers. Some of them are friends of mine. And I said, hey, do you mind if we have fun with one of your videos? I haven't done it with everybody. But again, if there's any Baptists that are offended, we will take them down because there is no desire to attack. And it's so funny because while people would love to discredit me if my son attacked a Baptist preacher, they will not discredit. In fact, they'll make it a virtue if some other Baptist preacher has sons who are actually attacking Baptist preachers, which is pretty funny and shows the hypocrisy. But let's go ahead and watch. This is his most popular video on his channel. This particular video has, let me look it up real quick. It has 47,000 views, and you got to check this out. This is good stuff.
We got first and last names of six witches that are in our church. And you know what's strange? Three of you are in this room right now. Three of you in the room right now. You better look in my eyeballs. We ain't afraid of you, you stinking witch. You devil-worshipping Satanist witch, we cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ. We break your spells. We break your curse. We got your first name. We got your last name. We even got an address for one of you. You so much as cough wrong, and I'll expose you in front of everybody in this tent, you stinking witch. You were sent to this church to destroy us. You were sent to this church to lure us in. You were sent to this church to cast spell. Listen, some of you been sick because you befriended that witch.
All right. Definitely one of my favorite videos. And again, that wasn't even attacking him. You know, that's a hilarious video, hilarious situation. But notice, we ain't afraid of you. He does so much chest thumping and it's entertaining. You know, Greg Locke is one of those guys I wish I could like him because I do find a lot of his antics entertaining. I have seen him take stands in good areas and tell people off that needed told off. And it's very entertaining to watch. But I do have major problems with his doctrine. I have major problems with his personal life. And I do think he is somebody who has clearly disqualified himself from pastoring. He has severe problems in his theology in many areas, but his Zionism, while he's a little more flamboyant in his portrayal of it, it's pretty much on par with your average IFB. And so I hope you have seen some of your foolishness through Greg Locke, and I hope you will get these things right. I hope too. That if people watching this, hopefully you learn something from the Bible, but I hope too, you learn something about manipulation tactics. I hope you'll understand, again, there is a time and a place for chest thumping, but it never proves anything. And when we're supposed to be having a debate, when we're supposed to be proving an argument and somebody resorts to just a bunch of chest thumping, that's usually a sign they don't have a whole lot of confidence. There's a lot of insecurity. And I've said this many times, and I'll say it again. In the independent fundamental Baptist world, there is a great problem with pride and insecurity. And Greg Locke has also carried that pride and insecurity with him, Even though he has left the IFB, the pride and insecurity has not left him. In fact, it's probably been enhanced. And so he is doing more chest thumping than ever and making himself look like a bigger fool than ever because this man is greatly in error. So I do appreciate everybody watching this. I hope you'll enjoy it. Go check out Jason Goes to Church channel, and you will definitely get some good laughs from the videos on there. So thank you all for watching this. God bless you, and we will see y'all next time.